Are souls bound to only have one form? Can a person remember a traumatic event that didn't even happen to themselves? Is a birthmark really an indication of a wound from another time? Today we test the believability of past lives.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
Happy Tuesday. Thank you for coming. Tyler, I have a little story I want to tell you really quick.
Okay.
When I was very young, in my mother's womb young, my parents thought that I was going to be a girl.
Okay.
And they had a name picked out for me.
What was it?
Nora.
Oh.
My mom told me that. When I was in my teens, I was like, I hate that name.
Really?
Yeah. And she's like, you know, I really liked it. And I wonder sometimes what my life would be like if I was a girl named Nora.
I like the name Nora.
My dad wanted to name me Bubba Ray. Or Cadillac Ray. Some stupid name.
Bubba
like
Ray is a wrestler in WWE. Bubba Ray Dudley.
Oh, I didn't know that.
When you were talking about your dogs, and I said they 3D'd that.
Oh, the Goatman.
The Goatman. Yeah, that was from Bubba Ray Dudley and Devon Dudley. Just a fun fact.
I would have never known that.
Yeah.
But this episode is not super relevant to what I just told you. I just thought it was a fun little story. We're going to talk about past lives.
Yes. This might be a little bit of a funky episode in that we're recording it significantly ahead of time. I'm going to be in North Carolina next week. So yeah. This one is a pre-recording.
A pre-cording, if you will.
Pre-cording.
So, Tyler, what is a past life?
A life that you previously had.
A life from the past, right?
Yes.
It's in the name. In a previous time on Earth, when you lived. So, some people believe that these past lives are part of what make us us. So, like, if a person has a particular fear, it could be because of that past life. Like, you have your strange balloon control fear. maybe that's because of a past life. Do you have any birthmarks? Weird question. Get to know you question.
I have, like, little dots. I have a triangle in my arm. I have a mole in the back of my neck. I have a crater on my forehead from some disorder or disease I had, like chicken pox when I was 14.
Oh, wow.
Have you ever seen my it's like, I'm like the moon over here.
I've never noticed.
I have a crater. And then I have a crater on my lip, which I've been able to cover the last 2 years of my life that I've been able to grow facial hair.
I'm perfect. I don't have anything like that.
Oh, no?
I have a little bump in the back of my head.
You know what this makes me think of is, like, not the opposite, but the singular version of the collective unconscious. Where, like, the collective unconscious is like a species developing habits and ideas based on our previous generations. But this is like the singular form of that.
Yeah.
That's like the plural version.
Absolutely. Totally. I don't think if you've played it, but Assassin's Creed is based off.
Yeah, because you go back in time.
And... Yeah, you play not your past life, but your ancestor's life. Yeah.
Yeah, I've watched people play it. I tried playing it one time. Creed. It's not my thing, but I respect it as a game.
Oh, 1 through 3. Oh, so good.
Which one's Black Flag?
4.
Four, not exactly.
You it wasn't had
like
my favorite.
You had like the model though for that, didn't you? Or like the you got like a special edition that came with like a toy.
That was 3. Yeah, my dad got me that.
Okay,
I still have that toy somewhere.
And then it came with a flag,
and
too.
We had it up in our apartment.
Yeah,
yeah.
Also, a sign that said "Madam Sophie's Massage Parlor,"
which I love that sign. And the duck.
Yeah,
somewhere.
And the duck. Yeah.
So there are a few signs that you have had a past life, according to Professor Brian Weiss.
Weiss.
W-E-I-S-S.
Weiss.
M-D. F***ing doctor.
Okay. Dr. Weiss to us.
Yeah. So he is an author on this topic. And the 4 signs, according to him, the first one is deja vu, which I know is a topic you want to do altogether.
You know, I keep forgetting about that. I need to write that down on my list.
Oh, it's like you keep coming back to it. It's like you keep deja vu about it.
Yeah, I keep having that moment right here.
Basically, it's this phenomenon where you experience something you feel like you've seen before. Right?
Well, don't spoil it.
Well,
I'm going to get to it. Why don't you talk about Bigfoot while you're at it? Why don't you talk about the Hat Man, Charlie? Tell us about the Hat Man.
That's all I'm going to say about deja vu. But it could be because you actually have in a past life. So like, yeah. I've never been to Europe, but let's say I go to England and I feel like I've walked down this street before. Maybe that's because I have in a past life.
See, I like that idea. I can definitely see that. I've also thought about it in terms of dimension, like yeah. parallel dimensions, and it's like a different you had been there. So instead of it being like a past you from, you know, this world, but it's an earlier point in time, I've thought about it, and not just me, it's like, it's not my theory, but like another you from another universe or dimension had yeah. been there.
Like,
but
I had the money to go travel to Europe once, and then, you know.
Yeah, that Tyler's living a good life. This Tyler's in this hot ass attic. You know,
Tyler has a office space.
I don't know where this episode's going or what type of stories you might have, but even if they're not true, I love the stories. And it's like one of those things where it's like when you start reading it, you can't stop until the end.
Yeah. Well,
stories where people are like, my past life was this, and then they somehow have uncanny knowledge about something that they shouldn't mm-hmm. know.
Well, this episode, I think, is going to be particularly relevant to you because these are some things you're going to have to be looking out for as your youngin' grows.
Oh.
He's getting toward the age where this becomes super relevant. We'll talk about it more in the episode.
Okay, because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, all right. The next sign that you have had a past life. I think it's possible to not have a past life, too. Like, this is your first go-round.
Did Claire ask you to slip in this episode somehow? Hey, tell Tyler to start watching the kid more. I feel like that was like a slide-in where it was like, can you somehow tell him to start paying more attention?
No,
it was sneaky
not.
If it was.
Oh man, I think that wine's getting my head a little bit. We had like a couple glasses, not even a whole glass of wine, a couple sips.
There's this really, really crazy part of this theory where you start taking the trash out more. We'll get to it. Maybe like Monday nights.
You do the dishes often.
Yeah, it's part of your past life. If you start doing activities your past life did, like dishes and throwing out the trash, like you, the memories become more vivid.
Yeah, it comes back to you. So according to Weiss, Dr. Weiss, the next thing is vivid dreams. So like you think like, you've mentioned before you dream, right? You dream sometimes.
When I sleep, which is rare, but yeah, I mean, sometimes.
Well, I don't, I never dream.
Okay. I've dreamed. Do you have dreams?
Not often.
Do you have to extra dream during the day to make up for?
Daydream a lot.
You daydream a lot. That was actually my question.
I do think off in the space a lot, but a particular vivid dream of a place that you haven't been, but it's you and like in the time, if that's repetitive, that could be more than just a dream. It could be a sign. It could be memories of a life that you used to have. You know, like I had a dream. I'm a woman in France looking over the Mediterranean. And if I have that dream every other month for 5 years, maybe that's more than a dream. Or it's at least a symbol of something.
Who do people see to find out about that stuff? Psychics? Because some people are like, in my past life, I was this. And I found out after talking to, is it a psychic or a medium?
Yeah, a psychic medium, I think. We're going to talk about how different religions kind of...
A large.
What? God damn it.
I had wine too, okay?
I think that you were a goat in the past life. All right. The next sign, according to Dr. Weiss, is knowing history without trying.
Well,
I actually have a question for you in this section. I have a question for all our listeners in this section.
Okay.
So you might be, the royal you, might be interested in certain areas of history or locations, and you might be able to find yourself really connected with those time periods and those places. Like, I really enjoy medieval England and ancient Greece. Those are places and times I feel a connection to. Don't know why, but I do. Your wife, Civil War era. 100%, yeah. Right?
100%.
What about you? Is there anywhere in time where you think you might be connected to? And that's the question for our listeners. I want you to, when you see the graphic for this episode or the trailer, comment. What do you think, what area of history are you connected to?
So I've always been, in terms of media and art and entertainment, I've always been a stickler for the here and now, contemporary. Like, I don't like, I think one of the reasons why I don't like Assassin's Creed is because it doesn't take place now. I don't like Dark Souls. Like, now that that's like a time, like, I don't even play Red Dead, and it looks really good to me. Plays and musicals that are like very old. Like, I feel such a, and I always thought it was more of a relatability factor, and it still might be, just not based on the context of this episode. But I've always been way more interested in the here and the now, which is why if it's a novel that takes place now rather than like a Huckleberry Finn, or, you know, The Sims, Grand Theft Auto, stuff like that, where it's Life is Strange, it's now, and it's rooted in mumblecore shows, because it's very much not much happens. It's just exploring life as it is today.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's nearsighted of me in that way, because it's the most.
I wouldn't say that. It's just.
I like consuming content that is happening in probably in the last like 40 years. Like from late 70s to like now is perfect.
That's interesting. I wonder if that means you just don't have.
This is my first life.
That could be.
I'm doing okay. I'm learning on the fly here.
That could be what it means.
What was I going to say? This has nothing to do with what you're talking about, but it triggered this memory.
All right.
So is it weird that we spend time consuming stories and fiction when there's so much interesting nonfiction?
I think it comes down to escapism.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Because there's a couple of people that I respect that are like, and I don't hold this belief. I obviously love like horror movies. Like, I love consuming fiction. I actually prefer reading fiction. But some people are like, the world is so strange already, and there's so many unique stories. Why would I spend time reading about wizards and goblins and like that when I can read about people, real people that have done real things? And it's like, I understand that point. And there's like a time period where I started second guessing, like, why am I spending time on a video game where as soon as I set this down, none of it matters. Mm-hmm. Like, none of it. Or
I've
this,
had that same
this movie,
thought before.
None of it matters. It's not real. Now, the emotion it brings out in you. And also, there's like, now that with the internet, like a show can be like, when pandemic hits, Tiger King.
Oh, yeah.
In the entire for world, sure. It was like a relatability factor.
Connecting thing.
Yeah, it connects people together. So, which actually is nonfiction. It's fiction, but you know what I mean. But,
Carol Baskins.
Sorry. When you were talking about like, video games and art, you like that. This has been something recently. I'm never going to give up fiction, but it is something I've been thinking about in my head.
I think it's an escapism kind of thing. Like, it's almost a reward for me. Like, I allow myself to have that escapism.
Yeah, I think grad school beat that out of me. Which, so you were talking about doctors. Should we make people call us Master Tyler, Master Try, Master P, Master C?
No, we should not.
Master T and Master C. Do you like contemporary?
Oh, I like medieval stuff more.
Yeah.
But I also like mumblecore. Like, one of my favorite movies is Jason Segel. Jeff Who Lives at Home is a great movie. It's a mumblecore movie.
Yeah.
I like a lot of stuff. So the last sign that you've had a past life is that there are people that you feel instantly connected to. You haven't met them before. You meet them for the first time, and it's like, boom. They're my person. And the idea is, it's not just a soul mate, but you have like a soul cluster. Like a soul family or a connected group or a company. And there's these like souls that kind of like travel their lives around each other continually.
I like the idea of that. I think it would be tragic for that to exist and then the people never have a chance to meet again, or like they're searching and they never find each other.
Yeah. Without knowing though.
Yeah. So what is the idea? Like, I don't know if you're going to get into this because the way it was posed was like, if you've had a past life. So are there people that haven't, well, there must be, because the population is growing.
Right.
So there has to be people, because like in the 90s, there were 5 billion people, and now there's over 7 billion people. Mm-hmm. So that's two, because for a time period of my life, when I was thinking about this in smaller terms when I was younger, I thought it was like an equal. Like, when someone died, someone's born. But now 2 billion more people
have been born. Exactly. I think there has to be new souls as well.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. No one says that, but I think it has to be.
They're coming from somewhere.
Maybe other planets? I don't know.
There's some weird people out there.
It's true. So according to another professor, Jim Tucker of the University of Virginia, says that even personality quirks like phobias and preferences, not common in families, so not things that could be a family trait, can be attributed to past lives. So like I said, phobias, but like you like ketchup on your chicken and no one else likes ketchup at all.
Yeah.
Simple stuff like that. Could be, maybe it's because of past lives. But he also says that children between 2 and 5 are often reported making statements regarding past lives.
Yes, creepy and, sometimes.
And these remarks, when fact-checked, are commonly correct, referring to specifics of that past life.
Do you think it's because they're closer to that past life because they're so young?
Yeah, I think it's because I couldn't find anything to back this up exactly, but I think because they're closer to that other side that they have those memories more recently.
Yeah, because if you, like, let's say you died in your past life when you're 70, when you're 5, you've been you for 5 years and you were that person for 70. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when you're 25, obviously you still have been you less, but I mean, try and think now back to a memory when you were 2. It's hard. Like, that's a lot of time. So that would make sense. I wonder if it's also like when they talk about like children being more sensitive to certain things and having less biases and things like that. But I wonder if it is just like just a fact of you are closer to your previous life when you're younger.
Yeah. Well, typically children start their accounts of their past lives. Like they're about to say something about their past life. They might say something like, "You're not my mom or your daddy. I have another mom or your daddy. When I was big, I used to," or "That happened before I was in mommy's tummy."
Yeah.
I wish.
"You're not my mom or your daddy" one would suck, but
that would be tough, wouldn't it?
Could say the darndest thing.
"I have a wife or husband or children. I used to. I died. I remember when."
Wasn't there a story that Ben, producer Ben, told us on Patreon, the Do You Believe the Bizarre, where somebody that like was their past life and they were like looked for it and they found someone?
I think, yes, there was.
It was like a kid that was somebody's husband or wife.
Yes.
To that other, and they knew everything about them. Mm-hmm. Was that one he made up or was that one real? I cannot remember.
I think that was real.
I don't remember. It was a good story though.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine this little 9-year-old that's like, "Hi, you used to be married to me," and you're like a 70-year-old person. You're like,
"Yeah,
you're my significant other."
I guess there's a movie like that too, though. Like a movie based around that concept.
It's like, do you stay then as a little kid or do you like pick up where you left off? Let's say they're like 18 to make it less creepy.
Like, but Matt told me about that, and I was like, "Well, she doesn't date the child?" And he was like, "Yeah, no. They dance around it, I guess."
But it would be cool, I guess, to have closure, and then you're like, "Well, I'm gonna go move on in my life."
So that's what science says about past lives. Now let's talk about what religion and spirituality talks about. Now, essentially, the idea of past lives comes from Hinduism, Jainism, and Buddhism. However, it's a little more complicated than that. Reincarnation actually translates to taking the flesh again.
Mm.
And it comes from the aforementioned Eastern religions to draw more on a universal metaphysical philosophy, whereas Western religions, or the Abrahamic religions, are more analytical.
Mm.
So in Hinduism, really simply broken down, it's believed that when something dies, it begins again in a new body. It does not mean it's a human body specifically, but it starts again. Basically, after you die, your fate is governed by karma. Karma, you do good things happen, right? And that's over multiple lives, not just, I don't know, you know, the phrase instant karma.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how karma works, really.
You have to have like multiple good lives.
Mm-hmm.
to level up.
You it takes lots of installments to have good karma. Jainism is, I didn't know this before, is actually really similar to Hinduism, but it's a little more complicated. The biggest difference I could see was that I could understand is that gods play a part in karmic path in Hinduism, but in Jainism they do not. So if you do bad things and you're in Jainism, you were born into hell. If you do neutral, you're reborn as a plant or an animal. But if you do good things, you're born as a human in Jainism. And in Hinduism, I guess gods play more of a role, more about destiny through gods. Like, they say you're gonna do this, so you do this.
What if you're like good, so you're born a human, but you're in Detroit? Like, does that mean like you made it? You have a couple things you messed up, or Cleveland? Come on, or, I can say,
I mean, Cleveland. I think it probably plays a role in where you are.
I've always wondered, like, you know, is soul coming into the world as like a fly versus a human, you know?
So that would be a neutral neutral thing, because it's an animal.
You come as a tree. Oh my god.
Well,
like, I'm gonna be here for 100 years.
Yeah, trees is a long time, unless you're like, you know, a tree that's bound to be like
cut down.
Yeah.
Also, going back to what we were talking about with lives, you know, when I was saying 7 billion people now versus 5 billion before. That's not counting insects and stuff and plants. So it's like maybe there's been a change where more people that used to be insects are now it's going in the weeds a little bit.
Yeah.
I will say the reincarnation, when I learned about that at a young age, was one of those things that just made sense to me.
Yeah. I think maybe that's a sign of a past life then.
Maybe. I don't know. It feels like a natural train. It almost feels too real. Not real. It's too systematic in a way where it's like a transition that just, like, okay, you died. And now instead of like, you go here, like it's almost like you're not going somewhere you're not familiar with. You're staying here on Earth and then you die and you can't conceptualize what it's like to be nothing. So you change into something else and humans have morality. So therefore to make that be like the judge where it's like, if you're good, you're this. If you're bad, you're that. And you already know both outcomes because we've seen people and we've seen insects and plants. And, you know, although you did say the worst was hell.
Yeah.
So that there is that factor in there. But just I don't know enough about it. And I've never researched it. But just on like an overview level, it's always been something that stuck with me and that has made sense.
Right. On the simplest level, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So the last religion I want to talk about, Buddhism, I think this form of reincarnation is the closest to what we understand as humans.
Okay.
It's also called Punarbhava. It's in Sanskrit, and that literally translates to become again. The closest to what we understand, that's like the modern, like how media really talks about it. And it teaches that there is no individual soul, but like every life is like a flowing consciousness that learns and it grows from its past. So like life is not the same. It's not the same as the last life, but it's not completely different. You're all the same, but you're different. You know what I mean?
Kind of.
So it's not like I was actually a swordsman in the past. Just it's the same soul learning, and then I grow to me, and then I will grow to something else.
Okay, so it's not like there was a swordsman that was basically Charlie.
Yeah, it's not like that. It's not that.
Like you didn't have the same personality.
Right.
You know.
Different.
No beauty marks, no birthmarks.
Right. And I think it's what we're thinking about in media, because it's kind of how we see that flow of consciousness. Like when we talk later about recounting past lives, this is kind of what we hear about. People having that knowledge that they grow from, or like the fear of death, that's growing. Or like the fear of certain things, like a fear
like
of
real
fire.
Danger, like heights,
yeah,
and things that can kill us,
or like even like irrational fear of jellyfish. Maybe it's because I was killed in the past life because of jellyfish or something like that.
Tripped over jellyfish and landed on a very sharp sand dollar,
well,
split your throat,
or like Man of War touched me once and I exploded. Those are the three Eastern religions that kind of talk about reincarnation in an accepted sense. What percentage of people believe in past lives? Apparently 38% of people.
That seems less than I thought. I would have thought.
It was less than I thought too.
I would have thought 50s. I think 50 some percent is what I would.
4 in 10 people believe. It's also portrayed in media. There are movies called Jacob's Ladder, Cloud Atlas, A Dog's Purpose, Heaven Can Wait, Birth. And there's a whole show on Netflix called Surviving Death that talks about reincarnation. Books, My Name is Memory, One Soul, Many Bodies, Many Lives, Many Masters, Destiny of Souls, and Fallen. Those are just some things in media that we're exposed to that talk about reincarnation. And that's part of the reason why I think I'd expect to be more popular, but why it is at least in the universal canon.
I think it's something most people know about as an idea. It's just whether or not they believe it. And if it conflicts with their religion, they probably are like, well, that's interesting, but I don't think that's true.
Mm-hmm. So why I think it's popular, these are two ideas that I have. One, it comes from being a unique and foreign topic that majority of Americans don't or can't believe in because of, like you said, religion, Christianity, or religious teachings. And so it becomes almost taboo and therefore very interesting. Also, the media, all the things that we talked about before, talk about these things, and then it shows this taboo topic and it becomes enthralling for people. There's a lot of animes that discuss reincarnation because it comes from the East, and those Eastern religions influence those things. Like there's an anime called Jobless Reincarnation, which I enjoyed, and it comes from that same concept where a person dies and is reincarnated.
I think there's something nice about it, and that it provides hope in that, one, you don't go away forever.
Yeah, that's my next topic. It comes from that very human fear of the unknown and the fear of death.
But also, like, not only do you have hope that you are going to go somewhere else that is unknown, but at the same time, it's kind of like control is in your hands. If you are a good person, you will be rewarded for it, right? So yeah. It's like you can control your destiny, and you have the map that tells you not who you're going to be or what country or, you know, socioeconomic class you're going to be in, but at least you're going to be here, which is a known.
Yeah.
So I think those things make it like, if you're going to blindly choose ideas on what the afterlife is, at least it's something hopeful to wrap your arms around.
Yeah. Well, reincarnation kills two birds with one stone, right? It, like you said, you know the place you're going to come back to. So that kills that unknown fear. And then it kills the death fear, because you're going to be able to come back and do life again. You know, it's not just going to go away after you die.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my ideas about why reincarnation is popular. So the next thing I want to talk about is one of the creepier aspects about past lives, and that's how children talk about their past lives.
Creepy kids.
Why do they? According to Tucker, again, children from 2 to 5 often remember these events. About 70% of the cases observed were recounted because they were traumatic events, like murder or suicide or combat or car crashes. And so they talk about these things without really understanding what they're saying. It's just like feelings that like fall out of them, basically.
Imagine driving past like an abandoned old building, and your kid looks out the window and they like double take and they look at it and just like with no emotion, like, yeah. Oh, mommy, that's where I was killed.
Well, like, it usually happens when the child feels safe and comfortable.
In a car while mm-hmm. you're driving, and you look over and you say, oh, I was hung there.
Oh, like, what? Messed up.
Yeah.
And these moments of past lives typically start to fade after the age of 6 or 7. So hopefully there's no lasting consequences, but unless it's like a super trauma that like you hold an irrational fear of, they typically go away. So the next part of the episode is experiences of people recounting their past lives.
Creepy children.
Mostly children.
Yeah.
Talking about their past lives. It's weird. So the first experience comes...
How many do you have?
A bunch.
Let's go.
A bunch of them.
Let's go!
The first experience comes from BuzzFeed.
Yes.
This one's really short. A lot of them are short, though, too.
Yeah, that's fine.
So this one's about a love for a dog that travels through time. Quote, my, at the time, 5-year-old son woke up one day and asked me, where is Banjo? When are we going to go look for him? I was shocked. Banjo was the name of our family dog, a bull terrier, that we had on a farm when I was still a preteen. One day, there was a flash flood in our area in South Africa. My little brother was stuck in the middle of the raging Orange River on a rock. Banjo jumped into the water, he loved to swim, to rescue my brother, but he got swept away by the powerful current, and we never saw him again. My brother had to stay on that rock for a full 19 hours before the water was safe enough for a boat to cross and get him. My brother was distraught about our dog that was presumably killed by the flood. Only 2 years later after that incident, my brother was killed while cycling when a speeding van hit him from behind. I never told my son about Banjo. There's no way he could have known that name. My son has been acting in ways that remind me of my deceased brother. They have the same favorite color, they like the same food, and they both like to sing. I can't help but think that the soul of my brother migrated into my son.
You know, is that the end?
End quote.
You think about it in terms of perspective from the person who is having the experience, like the child that is remembering a past that isn't their own or their mm-hmm. current. That I feel like that is the typical perspective you take on these stories, but it's very unique to take on the bystander perspective, because could you imagine coming to terms with the fact it's actually bigger for you than the child that you would have to,
yeah.
If it was true.
Well, I looked for more of these stories that have that factor that were not the self. The next one is, but most of these are outside of the self.
But is it, imagine cope, not it's not a bad thing, but your child is your brother that died. Like,
yeah.
What? Because your child is going to eventually assume the new identity, which is the child, because they're going to get older.
Mm-hmm.
Were you the person who already is older and knew both in the same life, You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, yeah. What elements carry over? Like, is that kid still gonna like to sing? It's interesting.
It's. I almost don't think I would like it because it's.
It would scare me. Like if I have a kid and it ends up saying like I used to be your mom or something.
Yeah,
like, I'd be like,
what?
Can you not say that actually?
Like.
It would freak me out.
It's almost like robbing that person of their identity.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're not actually my son. You're my mom. So.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, that, like, you're not my child. You're my brother. Like, mm-hmm. What?
What?
Yeah. Like, it's, oh, my God. It's crazy.
But it also can be both, you know?
Yeah. No, it's just interesting, I guess, looking at it from that side of the equation. But,
like I said, most of these stories I gathered, I find more credible if it's not the person recounting. Like, I was this, mm-hmm. I said this. I find it more credible if it's, like, a parent or, like, even a nanny who's saying, who's recounting the experience. This next one is a personal, like, I was.
Well, I have no problem. And I don't think they're less valid, necessarily. I just mean,
I feel find like, them more credible.
I just, like, the interesting is typically tied to the person that had the previous life experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's, like, to look at how it affects the people around them. When it was personal. Like, if you're like, I was this person, and then you go on a trip to a different country, and you learn, oh, wow, that actually adds up, mm-hmm. That's one thing. But when it's personal, like you were saying with you being your mom, or mm-hmm. In this case, it being the brother, that's just weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, that falls into that soul community thing. That's the idea behind that. It's like your loved ones stay around you. So, this next story, I found it on BuzzFeed and Bored Panda, so it's pretty popular. Quote, I don't believe in paranormal. I'm a pretty reasonable guy. I have degrees in science and healthcare and pretty grounded. But since I was a child, I had a memory of me stumbling out of the back door of a club. I couldn't hold myself. It was either really drunk or on drugs, and I slipped down a staircase, hit my head in the alley, and died. I was about 19. I was thin, had long blonde hair, and I was wearing a brown red leather jacket. I remember the neon signs, the staircase, I remember the door I walked out of, even the interior. I can paint the picture perfectly. If I had any talent at all in art, I would have. So 2 years ago, I took a leisurely trip to Budapest, and while exploring a ruined pub with my wife, I found the alley. It was funny because I remarked to my wife earlier when we arrived that I felt something about Budapest, that it was home and familiar and oddly comfortable, like I could have never left there. I think about this quite often. End quote.
It would have been go up to the bar owner. Has anyone ever died in that alley over there? Like, I don't know, kid. Welcome to Hungary.
Welcome to Hungary.
Or, like, they walk in, and they're like, oh my god, they think they saw a ghost. But it was just, you know, him, now.
Do you think he looks like... I don't think he looks like how he used to.
It'd be crazy if he did, though.
Well, I think that was his point. Like, he said, I was blonde and thin. I don't think he's blonde and thin.
I guess if he's qualifying his past life, then probably yeah. Not.
So this next story comes from Reddit.
I already believe it.
Quote... When my daughter was 3, she saw a large ship when we were on vacation at the beach and said, that's like the one my parents had before you died. I said, you had other parents before us? She calmly went to explain that I shouldn't worry. They were her parents a long time before my husband and I were. But the ship they were on broke apart and they were still at the bottom of the ocean. She then said that her before parents died. She and her sister, Bernilia, had to be separated because no one could take them both. Her sister went to live in Australia, but she stayed in Ireland. We live in the United States. So there was actually a comment on this post that validated this because it said, the detail about her being separated from her sister is really interesting because it sounds like the home children child migration scheme that started in 1870 through 1930. Poor and orphan kids from the UK were sent to Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and South Africa. And if by Ireland, she meant North Ireland, it makes sense, because that's part of the UK. But then they edited it and said, actually, it looks like there's even more schemes that came out of Ireland that were similar to this program that sent kids to Australia and Malta. So it could have well been any part of Ireland. That just validates that this could have happened to this family.
Right. It validates that it could have happened, which is more than nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the end of that little story. But it's just interesting that there's an actual program that gives credibility to this child talking about how she was separated from her sister
right.
in Ireland.
Because it's not like the kid would have looked up online and researched that and was like, I'm going to say this.
Child home separation schemes.
Yes. Yeah.
So this next story is also from Reddit, and it goes like this. Quote, "Not a mom, but I was a nanny for many years. This is long, and I apologize. It is long. One of my little ones, 2-year-old, an incredibly smart child, way ahead developmentally in almost every way, he used to like to tell me things while we got him ready for bed. It was almost always weird stories in which he would start by saying, when I was an old lady, and they were always very specific, little day in the life of type of things, which I quickly realized went beyond the life experiences and typical vocabulary of a 2-year-old. Over a few months, he kept adding very consistently to the story. He would also sometimes play this old lady with a cloth over his head, walking slowly, as if his back pained him. Grocery shopping, or playing with his sister's dolls as if they were grandchildren was his favorite activity when he was a child. He added more specific details like how many children she had, 4 daughters and a son, and grandchildren. Her husband's name died in the 50s. One of her daughters had died in the 30s in a car accident, leaving 2 children who she took care of with the help of another daughter. She had back pain and pain in her feet. All but one of her children were married. The unmarried daughter lived with her, and she was worried that she would never marry. She remembered dying. She had been crossing a street and was hit by a car. She described how the people stood around her, where it hurt, how someone eventually lifted her into the car, no ambulances, and took her to the hospital, where she died. I was not his only nanny, and he was consistent with these stories. Us nannies would get together and swap stories, and I would write them down because I found them fascinating, because I had been fascinated with the phenomenon of past lives. He also described the house and the neighborhood they lived in. This is especially interesting, as a kid, came from a super wealthy family, and had never even seen the kind of housing or poverty he was describing. He also talked about living by the seaside. Months into this unfolding, we visited a seaside city on the other side of the country. One day, a family member was having a birthday party, so we piled into the van and drove over. And our driver got lost. So we ended up driving through this extremely poor neighborhood, and suddenly, my little boy started shouting and screaming, and insisted we turn down a couple of specific streets. He started pointing out the window and telling us things that he recognized from when he was an old lady. It matched what he'd previously described in general, and we were all so interested we let him direct us where to go, as we were already lost and late for the party. He accurately described what was going to be around the turn for the next several times, and got extremely confused and upset when we went up to where her house was supposed to be, because it was now a store. The driver leaned out the window and asked a nearby old person what had been there before, and he said, houses. We never went back there or were able to get any additional verification. Totally, understandably, his parents were concerned about his storytelling and how vivid and strange it was. So after this dramatic incident, we made an active effort to redirect him to other stories and playtimes. As he got older, these memories started to fade, and eventually he thought they were even joking about this whole event. To this day, 25 years later, I can't really explain it. End quote.
I wonder if she was bummed that she had to redirect his conversations.
I think she was, yeah.
Also, it's like almost like this shared experience. Obviously, he was super young, but as he got older and stopped believing it, it kind of stuck with her, and she kind of took all of that on herself, I guess, along with everyone else that was in the vehicle and mm-hmm. the other nannies. But
yeah,
it's like what we talk about. It's like when you have a shared experience with somebody, but then you lose that for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. It's a bummer.
So the next story I have, it's about a little sister. Not their little sister, a friend's little sister. Quote, not me, but a friend's little sister. The whole family was out for dinner at a restaurant in a skiing village, which was recently bought by a cottage near them. My friend's little sister, as soon as they walked in, says, I know this place. My mother and I used to paint here. To which her mother replied, we've never been here before. What do you mean? And she said, no, my mother from before. We used to paint here all the time. The family was obviously a little freaked out, but they didn't think much of it because she was pretty young, and they figured she was just messing around. Later on, though, when talking to the waitress, the little girl again mentioned how she used to paint there, and the waitress revealed that, in fact, this was an art studio for many years in the 1900s, but had been converted sometime in the early 2000s into a restaurant. Needless to say, the entire table, waitress included, got goosebumps and were lost for words. End quote.
Now, I wonder if she has artistic abilities.
That would be even more compelling.
Yeah. You see her draw a horse and it just looks like a stick figure. You're like, yeah, maybe not.
You know, go back to math. Don't quit your day job, kid.
I feel like a restaurant that used to be an art studio would be pretty cool.
Probably a lot of windows.
Yeah.
So something we mentioned up top was birthmark evidence, which I find really compelling. So like the idea is if you have a birthmark somewhere, it's evidence of you being killed in that place.
I will say, now we don't know what happened to the last story, but it seems like the children remembering their death is normally when it is a traumatic death. It's not like, mm-hmm. Oh, I died peacefully.
70%, right? I mentioned that earlier, 70%. And these are like, these birthmarks are supposed to be the wounds from that. So this next story is about that. Quote, I have exactly the same entry and exit wound on the left side of my forehead and massive raspberry mark on the base of my skull. When I was 6, I described the battle I died in. It turns out it was Rourke's Drift, as in the movie Zulu. When I was older, I saw this movie and I was in shock. I didn't think anything of the birthmark until someone told me today about this theory. It looks like I'm not alone. End quote.
What is Zulu? You seen it?
Zulu is my dad's favorite movie of all time. Yeah. It's about the British Empire and they're battling the Zulu army and they're trying to invade this country in Africa. And the Zulu tribe holds back the British army for much longer than anticipated. And because of that, they had to pull out.
Gotcha.
Actually, I think they pulled out and don't quote me on that part. I think they waited for reinforcements actually, but anyway, let's move on. Last experience is from the PSI Encyclopedia. Quote, an example of the case in Sri Lanka, which was investigated by Elder Honderson, Prima was born in a group of light-colored birthmarks over the left side of her chest and lower ribs. When she was 4 years old, she saw a television program about the Klayan Temple some 140 miles away and said she recognized it. When she later visited the temple with her parents and a school group, she said she had lived on the other side of the river that flowed beside it. She eventually made 20 statements about past lives, claiming to have been a male incense maker who was selling incense sticks on his bicycle when he was hit by a large vehicle and killed. She named 2 incense brands she said she sold, one her parents did not know. An associate of her father, who spent weekends in Kalina, investigated and found that there were 3 small families' incense businesses across the river of the temple. One of them sold the brands Prima had named. A member of the family had been hit by a bus and killed as he took the incense sticks to the market 2 years before Prima was born. End quote. So Tyler, with all those stories and experiences behind us, let's move on to the discussion. So Tyler, after hearing those encounters and all those theories about reincarnation, past lives, how do you feel about coming back, about our lives being intersected, like that, interconnected, and like it could all be one thing? What do you think? It's a lot, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's not one theory, like general overview episode topic, but it's, you can really get very granular with it.
Well, there's a lot of compelling evidence with the stories though, you know.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to that, like if you have a child that is telling you details about something that they have no business knowing about.
Right.
And even if like they heard it, they'd have to memorize it and be correct. And you can't even get them to put toys away, so they're not going to do that.
Like they have to be like history, or like they have to be like gurus about history. Like there's no way.
And
like,
specific history.
Yeah,
to
like
them.
How many kids can name days and places?
But
and
even if they knew history, like that one kid, the nanny kid, he wouldn't know how to get around a city,
right,
and streets
they'd never been to.
So the only argument against it, as of right now, that I can think of is coincidence. Yeah. So it's what is stronger and what is more compelling? These children knowing things that they shouldn't know, or this idea that it's just a coincidence.
Right. And it regardless of what you think about reincarnation, the fact that these people, these kids, can recite things that they have no prior knowledge to, can't have prior knowledge to, is really compelling to me.
I think it's almost two different things where, like, I think you chose the right name for this episode. And I like the idea of reincarnation, and it's something that is, in my basic understanding of it, easy to digest. But that's, like, that's a specific avenue of mm-hmm. this. I think choosing the episode topic of past lives yeah. is going to personally make this much easier to rate.
Because it's more broad that way.
Yeah, exactly. And there's so many encounters. Like, I would love to know scientific devil's advocate. Like, okay, these kids are saying this. Like, past lives aren't real. These kids are saying this because.
Yeah, and that's really more even more compelling. I couldn't find, when I looked this up, I usually find, if you do like a cryptid, like the Chupacabra, for instance, I found a lot of articles like, San Antonio's Chupacabra, is it real? It's probably fake because of this.
Like a dog with mange.
Yeah.
But you already have that on the tip of your tongue. It's a dog with mange.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you have somebody, a kid, that's like, I used to paint, and then you go somewhere and they're like, oh, I was painting here. And then you ask someone like, oh yeah, I used to be in an art studio. Like, yes, those could be considered coincidences. But at the same time, scientifically, what would be the counterpoint to be like, no, she's not talking, that past lives aren't real. You know, she is, you know, this is happening. That's yeah. what I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't. I couldn't find that. Is what I mean. It's like I couldn't right, find right. that evidence.
But I wonder if there if somebody out there has an opinion that past lives aren't real and how they would yeah. justify this.
I'd be very curious to
like,
hear that.
What the rebuttal is. Like, no, past lives aren't real. They are experiencing this, or you know, they're coming to these conclusions from this beyond just coincidence. Because come on,
bro, how would you feel if in a couple of years Joey's like, I was a captain in the army and I was killed in World War II.
I wouldn't be like some of these people and be like, stop, redirect, talk. I'd be like, give me the deets.
Give me the deets, bro.
Yeah, you were captain. Did you swab the poop deck?
Wouldn't that be scary though, wouldn't it be?
It would be interesting.
Would you feel differently if it was like, I don't know, a grandparent that had passed?
That would be... See, the problem is, it's like, I love my grandparents. Like, it's me having this opinion isn't a negative reflection on my grandparents, but I like the idea of my son being my son,
its own person.
Not my son being my, you know, one of my right. grandparents. And there's, like I said, that's nothing against, but like, it's never going to be the same.
Right.
Like, if you could bring a grandparent back, I think most people would, under the pretense that it's your grandparent,
yeah,
not bring your grandparent back as your child that's going to eventually turn into a different person mm-hmm. that just like, it's like I would almost wait for that moment where like the personalities shift,
mm-hmm.
you know, like it would be very strange. Like I wonder if you could almost look at that as like a moment of possession.
I don't know.
Like
I
what if
it's just, I think it's just a flow of consciousness.
I mean like with a specific familial, like,
mm-hmm.
like your kid is your kid and then they're possessed, which I know possession has a very, very negative connotation. And maybe there's a more educated way of saying this, but like, what if like the grandparent comes into your child for a second and it's like, I miss you. I love you. I used to do this. Or like just like little breadcrumbs and then they leave. And then you ask the kid a couple, you know, weeks later, remember when you were saying this? And they're like, no, I don't know
anything.
But I don't know if there's any stories where they don't remember weeks later. I know years later.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would love to hear compelling theories and ideas on, beyond coincidence, what could be causing these ideas?
What makes it happen?
Because I know some yeah. kids, sometimes they just say stuff, and that's fine. Like, you know, yeah. But like, when you can start adding it up, and maybe it is coincidence, and we're making it out of nothing, but based on these stories and these experiences...
Yeah, I don't... It feels like they know stuff that they can't know, and it's just like... It's hard to say no way that's true.
No, and like, so from the top, I've always kind of liked the idea of reincarnation, even if I don't necessarily say I would believe it or like, it's not something I subscribe to or I think about on the daily basis. It's just always been one post-death transitional theory that yeah. I've, you know, not minded. But I think there's compelling evidence for this, and it doesn't conflict with anything I personally believe. So I go believable for past lives. I'm not saying it's true. let me be clear. I'm not saying it's a guaranteed fact, but I'm saying it's believable.
So you would think I would go believable, what I said.
Until you did that dramatic pause.
Yeah. I actually think I go viable with this. I think there's a... I know it's hard for kids to say things. You can't explain how they know it. But I think there's maybe that one in a million chance. Maybe they heard something. Maybe they're watching something. And they're just saying something. And they say a thing to you. And they get a reaction. And with that reaction, they
learn the response.
Are good improv.
Positive affirmation.
Yes, and. I think that's maybe one possible counter to this. But also it's very hard because they say things that they can't know. So that's why I mostly buy into it. But I go with viable. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Past Lives. It's a crazy topic. There's so many cases, way more than what I talked about. If you're interested, look them up. They're everywhere.
I wonder if there's a past life podcast by the same person as the Chupacabra.
I would actually not be surprised if there was a past life podcast or something.
That would be a good interview-based podcast. I'll be honest. I don't typically love interview-based podcasts. I feel like you either listen to it because somebody you like is on the podcast,
for sure.
Then you listen to that one episode and then you dip. Yes. Or you happen to like the host,
like
but
the
then
interviewer.
But then you just hope that you keep getting guests that you enjoy as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, it could be niche-based. But I think somebody interviewing people that have past life experience or like that type of encounters or experiences, that would actually be a very compelling podcast.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, I would definitely give it a couple listens, and I would probably review it. Like, if you're listening to this podcast and you like what you're hearing, you leave a 5-star review. And a review on Apple. And if you're on Spotify, you just leave a 5-star review. That would be great for us. Me personally, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Would you ever print out a review and put it up on your wall?
I've considered out printing every review we've gotten.
And just making our wallpaper is now just reviews.
I've thought of that, making just like a vision board of all our reviews. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy. I just like the positive affirmation.
So we'll put all the positive reviews around the wall, and then on our table, we'll put the negative reviews. So we're looking at it. Keep us humble.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys are good and I like the audio, but I don't believe it. Okay. We can take that. But also, if you want to wear some Believing the Bizarre merchandise, go check out our store. Go to believingthebizarre.com, shop merch. We got a bunch of cool designs. We have a whole bunch of new ideas, new designs coming soon. So yeah. I know we've been pitching that for months. I swear, we're almost there.
It's coming.
We're almost there. And also, if you want bonus content, you listen to the Tuesday episodes and you're like, I want more. Well, there is more on Patreon. We got quizzes. We have giveaways, but don't tell anyone. We got exclusive shirts that you can only get by being a patron. We play games with producer Ben. We do interviews. We watch movies. We just do Google Hangouts, bonus content, bizarre news, where we talk about real things happening on, you know, if you go past search and you hit that other tab where it says news, but we will not pay for the Washington Post.
No way.
But of course, the main podcast will always be free, and we appreciate every single person for listening, engaging the DMs. It means a lot to Charlie and I. And as always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre,
a podcast as bizarre as you are. The Chupacabra.
The Chupacabra.
Ah, okay.